When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He got it! Touchdown!
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Unlike the Yankees, who acted like big boys and went out there and got the superstar player that was available, the Mets didn't. And a lot of times in life, BT, with a lot of things, you get what you pay for. The Mets didn't do it, and I don't want to hear their excuses why. It's not my fault that their franchise has been set up to be in the spot where they couldn't go after Juan Soto or get him. The reality is, they didn't. He was available. They didn't get him. The Yankees did. However, Juan Soto will be available this offseason. And while we say the Yankees need to get him or the Yankees need to retain him, the Mets have to have him. There's no, I don't want to hear anything other than the Mets going after Juan Soto and having the highest offer and actually landing the superstar for a change. They have to. This is not the minor leagues. This is not the little engine that could anymore. This is the richest owner in the sport. This is a New York franchise. If Juan Soto were playing anywhere else, we'd be screaming about it every single day. The Mets have to get him. So it doesn't matter that he's playing for the Yankees. From the Mets' perspective, they have to get Juan Soto. It is Soto or bust. I don't want to hear any excuses from anybody from the Mets organization.
So if they don't get him, when you say it's Soto or bust, that,
fold
that's...
up shop.
Okay. So
fold
that,
up shop.
Well, okay.
Like, don't even roll a team out there. Don't even do it. Think about it. And again, the same way we said with the Yankees, if Soto left,
yep,
could they field a team that could be competitive? Absolutely.
Yeah, like competitive this year without
him. Right. So could the Mets be... Oh, no, I'm talking about the Yankees.
I'm saying the Mets. The Mets are competitive this year without him.
So could the Mets field a team that could be... Absolutely.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. The fans need that. Mets fans need that superstar. A superstar in his prime. The way that the Dodgers went out and got Mookie Betts and endless others, of course, whether it's Ohtani or whoever. When those guys are available... You have to get him. I didn't say go after Aaron Judge because I knew better. Like, Judge was never leaving the Yankees, especially for the Mets. Mm-hmm. Even for the most money, and it turns out to be true. Like, he didn't take the most money, he wanted to be Yankee. Soto is different. There's no excuse. They tried hard for Yamamoto, didn't get him. For whatever the reasons, he didn't want to be in New York, he didn't want to be a Met, he wanted to be a Dodger, whatever. They have to, and I don't care, BT, if it's $1 billion. They have to get Juan Soto. No ifs, ands, or buts. You lock him up for 15, 20 years. I don't care what it looks like in year 13, 18. They need Juan Soto.
But this is where I think it gets a little misleading and irresponsible on Cohen here. I think that there's a thought that no matter what, he's going to do whatever it takes. And I don't think that he is. I'm not saying that he's going to come with some small offer.
Yeah.
We need to remind people there's a reason why Steve Cohen is worth $15 or $16 billion. Because the man's no dummy with money. And when you start being cavalier, not that pursuing Juan Soto's cavalier in itself.
Right.
But if you're, and I call it the Mets tax, at least versus the Yankees, mm-hmm. like if he has to come out and exorbitantly overpay, and when I say exorbitantly, you know, if the Yankees offer is $550 and the Mets have to offer $700, like, what kind of template are you creating for the future? That's ridiculous.
I don't care. I know you said that before. We've had this conversation. I don't care.
Well, he might.
Then he's not doing his job as an owner. This is the guy. I'm not like this every year. Matter of fact, I wasn't like this offseason. You talked about Bellinger, whoever,
Chapman. Well, you were like this with Yamamoto.
Well, yes, that was different,
and he came with the offer.
Correct. And I was okay with that. They didn't land him, which is disappointing, but I didn't get on the Mets for not getting Yamamoto. This is different. This is a rare super. It has nothing to do with even stealing him away from the Yankees.
No, I believe about that, by the way. I know. I got you.
It's hard, and
make
that's
it a
why
little
I
sweeter, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think, because it is two things at once. You'd be hurting the Yankees, obviously, and the Mets fans would have great excitement, but it's not even about that. And that's why I wanted to separate the two conversations with Soto for the sake of this show. There's a Yankee perspective, and then there's a Met perspective. The Mets, assuming he hits the market, which he's a month and a half away, or whatever it is, 2 months away, from being an actual free agent, whenever free agent opens up, they have to land Juan Soto. There's no excuse. There's no excuse anymore. It used to be, well, can't get Machado, can't get Harper, don't have enough money. Can't trade for this guy, don't have enough money. They're not going to be able to get this guy. It's different now. A superstar at 25 years of age who is proven in the postseason, who is proven in New York, You got to get him. So I don't care what the restrictions are. Pay the Met tax. This is it. Met fans don't want to hear it. You have to get Juan Soto. We've been waiting forever to be on equal footing to some degree with the top teams in the sport. Cohen has talked about that as being a prominent franchise. And yes, it takes years to build. This is the massive piece that has to be had. Otherwise, it's the same old Mets. Could they win? Could they be a playoff team? Sure. Could they get Corbin Burns and some others? Sure. It's not the same. They need the superstar. He's available. You have the most money. Blow him out of the water. And everybody else who even thinks about getting Juan Soto, leave no doubt.
I think that you guys better hope that last night was a little blip on the radar, because I'm going to go back to something that I always thought. I believe optically it matters how the Mets finish this season. And, you know, I know that these players don't read the papers like Reggie and those guys did, and Tom Seaver, I'm sure. But they know the deal. And last night, Met fans, can I asked you before we got off the air, yeah. I said, Sal, give me a number over under 23,000 people tonight. 31,000.
Yeah,
nice job by the Met fan. Really good job. Not a good job by the Mets, but a really good job by the Met fans.
Right, before most of them got in their seat, the game was over.
Ugh, Blackburn was awful. But hey, listen, hopefully you come back, you take 2 out of 3 and whatever, and then you beat the Marlins and you make it 4-2. I said 4-2, you said 5-1. I think it's probably going to be more 4-2. But the point is, if the Yankees, and you are right, and we purposely separated Yankees first hour, Mets first hour, but this is one point that I do think gets woven in between the two, because I've said this for a while. The Yankees are playing in front of 45,000 every night the rest of the way into October, and if the Mets begin to peter out here, right, and I'm not saying it's definitely coming, although I do not think they make the playoffs, but if September becomes fairly morbid and an afterthought, and you have 16,000 people there on a Tuesday night, and the Mets finish 81-81, 82-80. That's going to be very unappealing to Juan Soto. It just is.
BT, the only thing the Mets can control is how much money they offer him. They have to make him an offer he cannot refuse. We don't know. I certainly don't know what makes Juan Soto tick. I don't know. We've had this conversation many times throughout the course of the season with the Yankees up, with the Mets a laughing stock, with the Mets up, with the Mets sweeping the Yankees. Is that going to factor in with Soto? I ultimately don't believe if the Mets make the playoffs and go on a run and win the World Series, it's going to have any impact on Soto where he goes. I think it's about the most money. And that's what Steve Cohen and the Mets can control, offering the most money and making sure you leave no doubt and making him an offer he can't refuse. Yeah, I'd love to stay in the Bronx. I love it here. I love the pinstripes. I love winning. I love playing with Aaron Judge, but the Mets are at $900 million. The Yankees are at $600 or $650.
And that would be a massive issue. Like, the Yankees can't let that happen. You know, the disparity can't be that great.
Correct.
There could be a little disparity, but there can't be that kind of disparity.
This is a time, and I say this being sincere and not foolishly, like, reckless with somebody else's money. I understand the luxury tax and all that stuff, and I understand that even the billionaires, you know, you don't want to keep losing money. This, however, is the one time that I ask, and if not ask, beg, that Steve Cohen does whatever it takes to get him. This is the guy. This is it. There is no more. There's not going to be me next year or me saying for another play. This is it.
I know.
This is the move. This is the guy. You
I
have to do
you.
Whatever it takes to get. Same way the Yankees have to do whatever it takes to retain him.
Mm.
Steve Cohen has to do whatever it takes to get him. That means that Juan Soto and Boris are in a great spot. But the reality is both these teams need him desperately. Could they survive without him? Sure. They both desperately need him.
I feel it. And I feel you. I don't think that you're lying when you say that, you know, to this extent. I don't think I'll see you act this way towards another player for a long time.
Maybe ever.
In our lifetimes, let alone the rest of our careers, like a 25-year-old lefty who has, like, you know, flirts with history in terms of on base and all the things that Juan Soto does. I mean, it doesn't present itself this early. Number one, who makes the majors at age 19 and does what he did in the World Series outside of Griffey, who didn't even make the World Series?
Right.
I mean, nobody's 19 in the show. And then, you know, to play on multiple teams and for him to possibly fall in your lap. But I also want to give you the converse to something favorably to the Mets here, all right? So I do believe, you know, if the Mets peter out, that it's going to have an adverse effect. Not that it's going to be the ultimate barometer, because money will be. I certainly grant you that. But if Citi Field is very quiet in September and it's Jets, Giants, and Yankees, and the Mets are an afterthought, that's not good, in my opinion, for the pursuit of Juan Soto from the Mets' perspective. However, if the Mets win, I'm not saying that...
You mean like make the postseason?
Well, I mean like it's vibrant through September and the Mets play a wild card, whatever. And he takes a little peek over and he says, oh... All right. Okay. Again, that wouldn't be the final.
No, it wouldn't hurt him.
Tilt in that direction, but I believe it would assist him.
Yeah,
it would assist at least the way he perceives the Mets. The perception of the Mets matters here. That's what I think that you're overlooking or at least minimizing.
Yeah, I don't.
You focus on the money, and you're not wrong. But I incorporate on what does Juan Soto think about the Mets? Because what we know about Juan Soto, and I'm not saying Juan Soto.
But how did the Mets' perception ever be as good as the Yankees?
It won't be, but it can't be so dramatically different. Mm. They can't fall apart and the Yankees win 100 and he enjoys a 3-week run in October.
It can be, he looks
at Queens, he's like, I'm not going to that graveyard.
That can't happen for you guys. It can be if the financial offer is that great.
Yes, but it won't be. And that's where we disagree fundamentally. If that's the case, then Hal, just pack up shop, leave, you're done.
Right. Well, you failed. For both sides. That's what I'm saying. And when I say they both desperately need him, they do. And when I say they both could survive, I mean, like, of course, they could each build winning teams eventually. But what it would do to the fan base for the Yankees to lose him would be devastating. I don't care how many wins they end up with this year.
Mm-hmm.
And what it would do for the Mets fan base to not have him is the Mets, again, sitting on their hands waiting for players to develop and just, like, building it the slow way and lack of entertainment and star power. Like, there's an entertainment aspect to this, too, and a fun part of it, too. The Padres trade for all the players. The Dodgers get all the good players. The Yankees have superstars left and right. How are the Mets supposed to be taken seriously when Lindor's their best player? And Lindor's fine, but he's not that level of superstar.
No.
You get Pete Alonso, who's their other guy. Look at what he's done. Literally falling on his face last night. You see that face plant?
It's not his fault. His chest got stuck in the dirt. Yeah. Come on.
Who's that happened to before?
It's happened to me.
Chest got stuck in the dirt.
It did. I can't get on him for that.
It's just symbolic. Yeah. It's symbolic of the Mets stars versus the rest of the league. I'm not trying to pick on
people.
There's an entertainment element
that
the Mets fans are starved for. It's different too. We can incorporate the Yankees now that we've talked about them both, but the Yankees have had these successes as far as winning, and they have the star power, the ultimate star power. They haven't won a World Series since 2009, so that's lacking clearly, but they've had the joy of every night watching Soto and Judge. Like, you know how special that is?
Oh, it's been fun.
Okay, it's been fun. So even if it falls short of a World Series, at least you had the other aspect of it. The Mets don't have that. If Cohen wants to be taken seriously, this is the guy. We are in a spot where both these teams in town need, for different reasons, need Juan Soto. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number. Lou is in a story. What's up, Lou?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking the call.
Thanks for making it. What's up?
All right, listen, on last night, game, please don't get too excited. Especially BT, if you can't appreciate what Junior did, Cortez, which you never liked him anyway. You know, and then don't appreciate it so much. Soto's a great star anyway, because that was like batting practice. That was against the White Sox. You mention the White Sox when you talk about Junior, but you don't mention when you talk about Soto. Soto is tremendous, okay?
Yeah.
I think he's going to get more than $500 million. Don't get me wrong. But if I was the Yankees, since I got two stars in the minors and two prospects,
I would give you two pitches. Dominguez and Jones?
Mason Harris. And Corbin.
Nobody cares. Listen, I don't care, Lou. I'm gonna take a page from Sal on this, and thanks for the call there, buddy. I am a prospect follower to an extent. I like the minor leagues. I believe in it. But I don't want to hear about those names when it comes to Juan Soto. That means absolutely nothing.
What was his point? That they were, I misunderstood that.
Basically, he's got a limit. Like, I think I don't think he got to the actual number, but okay. I think he told $500 million, take it or leave it. No, that is reckless negotiating. The Yankees don't have... You know, I can't use the expression I was going to use, but they cannot. They don't have the leverage that you might think that they have. Like, hey, take it or leave it, Juan, $500 million, or we're leaving. No. The Yankees are basically going to be begging him to stay. They need to, and they will. They take a hardline stance with Juan Soto. Why would they do that?
No, this is about the fan bases here. This is more than just trying to build a winning team. As we've said many times, you could find ways to build a winning team without Juan Soto. Plenty of teams have done it. You don't, or even a superstar. Now, you want to have that superstar. It helps you win, you would think, but you don't, it's not a necessity. It is in this town, with the way that the Yankees got Soto, with the way that he's performed, it is a necessity to have him. The fan base cannot lose him. And for the Mets, it's a necessity to get a guy like that. There aren't guys like that. You can't say, well, they don't have this guy. Let's go get the next one. Who's the next one? There isn't one.
Well, there's always a next one.
Who?
But I don't know. But and I also, did you think that Ohtani was going to leave the Angels? I mean, did we even know about Yamamoto? Not that he's even right. healthy right now, but do we even know who Yamamoto was 2 years ago?
Right.
My point is, there's always another one. There's always a transcendent figure that emerges somehow. Sometimes unlikely. And I wanted to make this point. Like, Jalen Brunson's an unlikely, you know, superstar at this point. All right, so there are multiple ways to build a team. There's the exciting way, like, hey, get Soto and Yamamoto and the names, and that's fun. There's no doubt that that's fun, and sometimes it works. Yankees got A-Rod, he finally delivered, they win a championship. I'm going to take you back a million years ago. I don't even remember what the mindset was because I was 9 years old and you were younger, all right? But when the Mets got Keith Hernandez, and they were wretched, this Mets team is obviously better than that Mets team when they got him in the summer of 83. They were awful that year and for 5 or 6 years before that. I think the better all-around player for sure at that point in the National League, even though Keith won the MVP in 79 as a co-MVP, I believe that the better player was Dave Winfield, who was acquired by the Yankees 2 years before that in 81. Now, let's just say that the Mets would have gotten Dave Winfield instead of Keith Hernandez. Mm-hmm. I know this is a weird way to look at it, but I want to prove an ultimate point here. If Winfield was with the Mets and Hernandez never went to the Mets, now we don't know the answer, but do you surmise that the Mets would have been champions in 86?
Because
I do not.
Yeah, probably not because of the way that it fit. Understood.
I don't.
But you're also talking about getting a special player in Hernandez.
100%, but he couldn't run. Right. He didn't have the power. Didn't have the arm. He was a great first baseman. And Dave Winfield was the best all-around player.
But they ended up getting that from Strawberry. You know,
Understood. But my point is that sometimes, and I'm not saying that this would pacify Met fans if you don't get Soto, nor should it, but sometimes... The best move becomes the unexpected one.
Understood. Or the best moves are the ones you don't make or whatever. Yeah, that's fine.
And not just to put a little cute Hallmark saying on a piece of paper, but it matters. I just gave you an example.
But it understood.
But and the Yankees have one, Soto, and all we do is complain about what they don't have.
Agreed. And which is why I was saying, start the show, we should appreciate it even more. Like, just focus on what you have, which is fine. The Mets need it, though. This is different, BT. It's a new owner. They want to be taken seriously. Like, if they don't get him... I'm not saying that they're never going to win or can't build a winning team eventually. It's just, it's not as fun. There's no excitement. It's still the little brother in town.
What if he offers, what if Cohen offers him $800 million and he signs with the Yankees for $7-10? What do you do with that? How do you crush Cohen?
I can't knock Cohen.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
No, but, but because they're having the highest offer. No, but what I could say is it's still disappointing.
Yeah, no, understood.
But I can't knock the owner. I didn't knock him for losing out on Yamamoto. I thought they did all they could.
You knocked the Yankees, which I think was wrong because the Yankees had the highest AAV. It's a fact.
But it wasn't the most.
But it was the most per year.
No.
Fact.
It wasn't the highest.
It was the highest AAV.
Okay, but it wasn't the highest offer.
I understand. We always go back and forth on this.
But yeah, it's not even knocking the Yankees, but they did not have the highest offer.
You always get those little jabs in, like, they didn't really want Yamamoto. They had the highest AAV.
But what does that mean, the highest
AAV? It means it literally that they offered the most money per year, more than any other team, including the Dodgers and the Mets,
Other teams offered him more years, total value. Which one would you want? You want
honestly, right now I want shorter term with him. He's already hurt.
No, for you personally, you want the most per year for 2 years, or you want the total value more over 5 years?
Well, from my perspective, if it's for me, you know what I want. For my team,
it's the most.
I'd probably want to have. Right. I'd want to have less a less length connection to that player.
Okay, but that's the point, that the Yankees made a better offer for them, but not the highest offer. Point to, and I don't even care. The Yankees really didn't want Yamamoto, because if they did, they would have offered more money. And who knows if he would have taken that. I don't believe the Yankees.
I think
truly,
both of us got played, Yanks and Mets. He played
them. Fair enough. But I didn't have an issue with Cohen because he offered the most money along with the Dodgers. This is different. He's got to offer the most money. If he offers $800 million and Soto stays for the Yankees for $700 million, there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, so you say you won't crush him. I believe that. If the offer is way above board and he just wants to go somewhere else, either stay here or go to a different team, okay, and he bypasses the Mets, I believe that you'll stay true to that. Do you believe that Cohen actually will come with an offer that just blows everybody out of the water?
He better.
Do you believe he will?
I do.
Okay.
That's why I think he's going to the Mets.
No, man.
This is it.
No, man.
This is it, man. There's going to be, there's
this
no more.
This is it.
There's no more dragging out. I remember. There's no more pushing it forward or joking around about the King stuff.
Yeah.
If he is who I believe he is and what he wants the franchise to become, he's going to offer the most money for Juan Soto.
Okay.
I don't know. Let Soto make that decision.
I got you. But give him a decision to make.
I believe he's going to make him an offer that is at the very least going to make him think twice. And it better be an offer that he can't refuse.
And I don't know if it'll be an offer he can't refuse, but I do believe it's going to be something that's going to give him real pause. I believe Steven's going to do that too.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first wide open, touchdown Giants, and a left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through the 18th. Right now, be call number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be a part of the first ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. It's from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. I'm getting excited about this, BT. Have you seen our setup yet for we'll be doing the show out there on Friday?
No, I have not yet seen it.
Looks sick. Jess Clark did an amazing job putting the design together. We haven't even been out there to see it, but I've just seen the pictures of it. It's going to be a photo op thing with fan merch and all that stuff. We'll be doing our show there. Really cool. And
nice.
You saw our special baseball card.
I did. We have our own baseball. Hey, let's open that. That's a pack we'll get, right?
I'm looking for. Yeah, exactly. Who's this?
Let's rip through a pack.
All the hosts have cards, baseball cards to give away. And sign be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it and checking out.
Promotion stepped up and Fanatics have been great to us so far. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and obviously that's free to watch. You pay for the ticket to get in. Come hang out with us all day. We'll have some fun. Doing the show. All right, let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Hampton Bays. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. So when we're talking about Soto and a 10-15-year deal, I don't know how important 2024 and 2025 exclusively are. You look at the long-term view of these teams, and, I mean, you look at the Yankees, and you know Anthony Volpe, Spencer Jones, you'd be lucky if they turn into Lindor and Immo. And then, yeah, you've got Cole, but we've got Senga. You've got a lot of, I mean,
Chris, you're low, Chris, you sound, Chris, hold on, Chris.
What's the
sound ridiculous, Chris.
Yeah, what's the point? I don't understand.
My point is you can sell the future to Soto with the Mets. You don't have, if they go 82 and 80 this year, that shouldn't be what decides the future. You can sell a long-term future to Soto. I don't think.
Well, Chris, hold on, Chris. Chris, you can sell. By the way, I respect you defending the long-term future of the Mets. You're not wrong. I mean, anybody theoretically can. Even the A's, when they move to Las Vegas, can have a good long-term future. Hopefully, the Mets with Stearns, who I think is a good hire, gets them in the right direction, and we'll see what happens. But I don't think it's the main. It would be a main deterrent. Like if the Mets stumble, that was my premise, by the way. And thank you for the call, Chris. For those who missed it, I still believe, and I said this to Sal during the winter. You know, the optics of how the Yankees and the Mets seasons go, whether I'm right or wrong, to me matters. If the Yankees are winning and Judge is mashing, this is what I said over the winter, and Judge is mashing and Soto's mashing and they go to October and the Bronx is buzzing, boom, big advantage for the Yankees' ability to retain him. Conversely, if, you know, and there's also a positive converse for the Mets, but if the Mets are, you know, an average team and they fall out of it, it's Jets and Giants and Yankees and everybody forgets about the Mets, that's not going to be good for Juan Soto. Now, $150 million, you know, bigger check than from Cohen, than Hal, I mean, that should cover that up. But I do believe it matters more than Sal does.
I don't think it matters at all. And Chris, you don't have to think so hard. Stop worrying about the players that are here. Stop worrying about projecting the future, which nobody can do correctly anyway. Oh, well, this guy projects to be that. You don't know. Just give him the most money. End of story. That's it. The only thing that the Mets fully control is how much they offer Juan Soto when he is on the open market. That's it. All I ask is that they have the highest offer, the best offer by far. I don't think that that's unreasonable. And I don't even care, BT, take it a step further. We talk about the Mets tax and maybe Boris plays them. I don't care. This is one spot where if you're getting played, so be it.
Yeah.
You have to go as hard as you can and put the best offer out there, regardless of looking foolish. It's not you're going to be doing this again and people are going to use you. This doesn't have to be a repeated pattern. This is the guy. They did it to a certain extent with Yamamoto. Turns out they got played. He didn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Okay, you still did the right thing. I think Cohen came away with his head held high. I think that was fine. Something to be proud of. We made an offer. We gave it our best shot. The player didn't want it. Clearly, that's on the player. That, I don't believe, will be the same case with Juan Soto. If you do everything you did for Yamamoto and have the highest offer, or the best offer, highest offer, however you want to word it, I think he's going to be a Met.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would be more concerned with what's the, and it's a broader, deeper conversation for a different day, what's the pivot? Because, you know, we can sit here and say,
I don't think there is one. For
well, there's got to be. There's always got to be a pivot. Well, Otherwise, you can't be a planless, if you will, organization.
No.
I don't know what the pivot is.
Right, but the pivot to replace the excitement that the fan base
No. I mean, listen, I'm not saying excitement doesn't matter. And I do hear you. Like, they need that injection, like a Darryl, like that kind of, you know, Dwight. I know that surge of energy. Tom Seaver, I would imagine, back in the day.
They need Corbin Burns and Juan Soto with the two big guys. Go get them.
Yeah, but to me, it's less about excitement and it's more about just building a winning team. Like just getting better players.
Yeah,
like,
but
now if you're good at exciting, that's a win-win.
Well, that's the idea. I got you.
I still think that you can be good and less exciting without Soto.
Right, but they thought that again this year. They thought the same thing.
I didn't, though.
They thought the same thing about, you know, the trade deadline. Well, we don't need to go all in and get Blake Snell. We could get Blackburn. Well, how'd that work out for you? Blake Snell's throwing up zeros every time he goes out there, and they got Blackburn, who's getting tattooed.
His first two starts were good.
Yeah, he's okay, but he's okay. Like, he's not Blake Snell. So they're like, oh, we'll be fine. We'll add Stanek in the bullpen. And how's that working out for you? Now we'll get Jesse Winker and throw him in the line. Well, how's that working out for you?
He's back fourth, basically.
Yeah, no, they have him hitting third. The guy's a third singles hitter. Yes, best at that. I mean, come on. At best, he's a singles hitter, and they have him in third in the lineup. Like, give me a break here. So those moves, like, yeah, could you build a winning club with them? Sure. But to what extent? Like, a fringe wild card team? You want to be taken seriously in this town where, like it or not, you do have to compete with the Yankees? You better go get Juan Soto. Vinny is in Monroe. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. Two quick points, if you'll let me. Everybody talks about how much Soto's enjoying playing with Judge. What nobody mentions is I think Judge is having the most fun he's had as a Yankee playing with Soto. That's my first point.
I think that's fair. Sounds right. Looks right.
My other point is, I know Judge has nothing to do with Soto's negotiating, believe me, and I know money trumps just about everything. But I believe Judge will be in Soto's corner, and Judge will have some degree of influence on management and Soto. That's my point.
Well, based on what? What do you think, Judge is going to tell Soto to take less money to stay here? I mean, he could try to pitch him on that. And let him know what it means to be a great Yankee. And he probably doesn't have to. Soto understands all that. And if that is the case, like, nobody can compete. And that's why I say the point about the Mets being good is irrelevant. Like, I don't care how good they are. It would be a short-term thing. And nobody can compete with the history or the prestige that comes with being a New York Yankee. So for the Mets, it's got to be money. That's it. That's all that they have. Certainly right now. That's all that they, even if they build a little winning team and the OMG stuff and Grimace, like, that's not, come on. That's not enough. It's embarrassing, actually, when you think about it.
I mean, unless Juan Soto's a huge McDonald's fan, then it's appealing.
Right. Maybe he loves the mascot. Who knows? But so to me, that doesn't matter. And has like these players, you see it with Reddick with the Jets. Like, although I know Rodgers is going to reach out to him, but like to a man, the player's like, hey, he's got to get his, and we understand that
it's business.
Yeah, and that's what it's going
to
be.
I think he meant more Judge influence on with how to retain him.
Oh, well, that's a different
story. I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, okay, that's a different story. If Judge could get Hal to open up his pocketbooks even more so than he did for him, then we'll see.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Good questions.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, BT, here we go. Little 3RQ for you on this Wednesday as we always do at 1140. First one. If the only seat that was available on a train was next to a guy who was drinking with his bike blocking that seat, would you ask him to move it?
I would imagine I would. Yeah,
okay.
I would think so.
So this happened to me last night on the PATH train at, say, 12 a.m. Now, I don't sit myself. I stand up on the bed.
Yeah, I like to stand, too.
So check this story out.
Okay.
it's a crowded train somewhat. I'm with my friend at SNY, Michelle Margot, who is pregnant. So congratulations. She announced that.
Wow, congratulations.
So now,
that's awesome.
Like, and it's late night. Mm-hmm. We're on a train.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant. She should, like, people should get up so she could sit down.
No doubt. Does she look pregnant yet? Like, would they know?
Yeah, you could see.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, she's hiding it. She's been hiding it, but she announced it on Instagram, whatever, so I think it's okay to say. And yeah, you clearly... And,
you can see a little baby
100%
bump.
You can see it.
Okay.
So we're on there, and I'm like, all right, because it's crowded. People are trying to get on. The train was late, and I'm like, I'll get somebody up. Don't worry about it. She was panicking a little bit. Like, you need to find a seat. And there's a seat that is open, but a guy is sitting there pounding a beer.
Okay.
And his bike is blocking... The open seat.
The open seat.
So I ask her first, would you be okay with sitting there? Because, like, if it were me, I'd probably be like, mm-hmm. I'll ask somebody else. Mm-hmm. But it was an open seat. So she said, yeah. So then I go to him, hey, move this bike.
Is that,
I was like, do you mind? I actually said it nicely. Can you? But it also is disrespectful when, like, what are we doing here? Move the damn bike. Like, you shouldn't be doing it, period. Get the bike out of the way. I don't care if it's on the train.
Yeah.
But what do you think this is? This isn't your train.
Uh-huh.
It's an empty seat. If I want to sit there and I'm not pregnant, I'm going to sit there. Move the bike. Mm. Now, again, if I needed the seat, I would have done it. But for her, I definitely needed it. And he looked at me. So I said, hey, do you mind moving the bike so we could get to that seat? You know, the one that's right next to you that's unoccupied that we want to sit in there? He goes, yeah, 1 minute. Just give me a minute.
Mm.
Give me a minute.
Interesting start to the exchange.
Now I'm like... All right, something about to pop off here. I ain't having that. Now, luckily, people that were next to this guy immediately got up. They were
did you tell him she's pregnant?
No, I don't think he needed to know that.
No,
but
I'm just curious.
Not, I did not say that.
I got you.
I'm not one of those like, oh, she's pregnant, move out of the way.
No, no,
I think
I know.
You ask
no,
first.
No, I meant nicely. Like, hey, excuse me, sir. No, do you mind just maybe moving your bike? My friend here is pregnant. She's getting a little tired. She wants to get off her feet.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know if you used that as a smoother entry.
I did not.
Okay.
I don't know if it needed to be said.
Well, maybe not. It doesn't need to be said.
Either way, I don't think he was having it.
Really?
But luckily, the people next to us or whatever, her, like, oh, don't worry, guys. I was like, it's only one stop. She got to go. They're like, no, don't even worry about it. But the point is, she ended up sitting down, sure, but the guy stood his ground.
He wound up, he never moved?
Never moved.
Wow. Young guy, old guy?
No, older guy.
Like, how old? 50s, 60s, 70s?
Probably 50s.
All right.
Not old enough to where it's like, I'm not going to ask a guy who can't stand up.
Well, that's true.
No, it was a guy who can clearly ride his bike all over the place. Like,
did he look disheveled? Did he look trustworthy? Not that you can really tell these days. Did you feel like you had a possible confrontation coming?
I would say angry would be the word I would use.
It sounds like he's admitting anything but happiness.
To a point where she was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, just to kind of just...
Yeah, yeah. But now I start getting because I'm right or wrong. Forget about her for a second. Now it's principle.
That's right.
Like if somebody wants to sit in that open seat, get your ass off.
I don't blame you.
Move your bike. You don't have to get your... Move the bike.
I don't blame you. Dude, I've got such a massive problem with that. Like, I'll never forget this. I was 3 years old and I was young, but I remember this to the day. We're at Kings Plaza in Brooklyn. My mom and my sister were shopping. I think me and my dad, well, I really wasn't watching football much at 3, and I was probably getting ready to turn 4, so I was like 3 and a half, whatever. And we go to pick them up after a day shopping at the mall. You know, I'm all hopped up on candy, whatever.
Yeah,
Lord knows what I was eating. And we're in the elevator from the parking bank to go to meet them, maybe at Nathan's or something, and go look at the dogs at the kennel place. Like, yeah,
right, like a family day, right?
And I run out of the elevator. And my dad grabs my hair, which was really curly and long at that point.
Right.
I'll never forget. He didn't really mean to grab my hair, but he meant to grab my shirt and he missed. And he looked at me, he goes, women and children first. And I never forgot that.
Right.
And so to this day, my son who's 9, I don't have to remind him anymore, but hey, when he was 3, 4, go open the door for mommy and your sister.
Right.
And that translates to getting your ass up
if
somebody wants to sit,
if
it's a female.
That's the thing, bro. Like, I get it. Life is beating us down. I understand it. I understand it's not pleasant being on the train and riding the bike or whatever, but come on.
You see, I'm with you, dude.
Get up.
Nothing else needs to
just
be said.
Just move. You don't even have to get up. Just move the bike. Anyway.
That sounds like that a complete was one tool.
Yeah, dude.
It just angered me.
And now I'm starting to get the blood boiling. And I'm like, you know, who knows what could happen here? Luckily, the people weren't. Anyway.
Sal getting more angry at that than he was the A's game.
Right, exactly. No, that was the main course, and I washed it down with that dessert with this guy who wouldn't move his damn bike. All right, positive note here.
Yes.
Favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Ooh, it's a good one. Man. All right. I used to love, it was like an ensemble. It was like Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. That was great. I love the Legion of, the Legion of Doom, where you had all the superheroes. Remember the Hall of Justice, the superheroes. Obviously the basic ones, but even like Green Lantern and Aquaman were back on that one. And I really liked the Smurfs for like a year or two.
Me too.
I really did.
I mean, that was a mainstay for
those
a while.
Were a couple.
I remember He-Man.
Woody Woodpecker. I was a big fan of Woody was good.
So Saturday morning is different. Like for me, He-Man, I remember watching when I got home from school.
That was more of a weekday thing. Right. You're absolutely right.
Saturday morning, like I remember. Smurfs, definitely.
I love the Smurfs. Like
Gummy Bears, you remember?
No, I didn't get into Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
You never heard this one?
I devour Gummy
Great
Bears.
Song.
I don't think I've ever heard of that
and
cartoon.
And now the gummies, I know. Muppet Babies, I used to
that
love.
That was good, Muppet Babies. Oh, I liked them more, the Muppet actual, right. Like Jim Henson's on.
I'm trying to think.
The actual weeknight show, but yeah.
Right, Thundercats might have been an evening one, too. There's another one on Saturday morning that I remember. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Do you remember this one?
I was too old for that.
You have that song, Hoff? The Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Yo, it's the Mario Brothers. The plumbing's the game.
You know who played Mario?
Who?
Captain Lou Albano.
No way.
Yes.
Did he have the rubber bands?
Look it up.
Did he have the rubber bands?
Captain Lou Albano.
Wow.
I'm wearing a Voltron shirt today, so that's why Hoff brought it up before when we talk about some of the cartoons. But man, Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh.
Remember waking up early for those? It was the best.
And I'll tell you, one of the big differences, unlike now, and you've seen this with Joey, you'll see this when your daughter starts playing soccer and doing some other things, like back then, like, all right, you might have a Saturday game, but it's across the street. It's at the park.
Right.
You're not driving on the Garden State Parkway or wherever down, you know,
136
miles to get there for 9 o'clock first pitch, which means, it's total, so you can enjoy the cartoons is my point.
Are they still a thing, Saturday morning cartoons?
Not for my kids, they're not. No.
But, like, because now you just watch stuff streaming anyway, so you basically watch whatever you want on your time.
Sal, I don't think that they are. You know what they do have? They do have it's like a modernized version of This Week in Baseball. What's the young woman's name? She's really good. She's a host. Great. I guess she was a great softball player. And they have like all sorts of clinics and they have some cartoon stuff. Hop, maybe you've seen Aunt
Is it Mendoza? Jessica Mendoza?
No, not Jessica Mendoza. No, I know her from here. Not her. They definitely have a lot of kids content. I don't think it's like cartoon. No, I think those days are over.
You have a favorite cartoon, Hoff, or a Saturday morning cartoon, I should say?
I probably was a big X-Men fan. Like, that was my jam back in the day.
Remember,
I wake up to X-Men.
Do either of you remember Hogan's Rock and Wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was good. That was good. Yeah. That was very good.
Man, and if you go back, because I had, like, years ago, I went back and just watched some of them.
Yeah.
God, they're awful. As an adult, like.
Oh, God. Most things are pretty bad as an adult. Like, things we used to find humor. And I used to love Fat Albert as well.
Oh, Fat Albert was great. That was an after-school one, I think, too.
What is this theme? It was before school.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League.
Here we go.
Assemble the world's four greatest heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman.
Oh.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. A little Batman.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Batman.
There we go, Batman.
Green Lantern, hook him up. There was Saturday morning, and then there was the after school one. So a lot of, like Inspector Gadget, I feel like, was after school.
That was after school. And that was like on
Fat
picks.
Fat Albert was definitely after school.
I used to watch Fat Albert before school. I used to wake up, the Great Space Coaster. I was an early riser even then. I'd get up at like 5 o'clock. I'd put the TV on when I got a TV in my own room. And Fat Albert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last one here.
Okay,
that was a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Last one. What happened to the cards that Michael Rubin brought in yesterday?
It is a random question, but.
What happened to them? Hoff, did you see them? Didn't you get.
He brought them in, and then that's the last I saw of them.
I don't know. We didn't open them on the air.
Did you take them?
We didn't open them on the air. Did
anybody take them?
I was looking for them. I thought we would.
Thursday. You want me to come correct? You want me to honestly tell you? And Hoff, I was so pissed at you. Yeah, I didn't say anything, right?
Pissed at me?
No, well, I'm going to tell you why, right? So Ruben gives it to us, and I'll tell you where they are in a minute, right? Yes, I have them. So Ruben gives them to us, and I'm like, maybe to my son,
sure.
But I'm thinking me. So I thought that you forgot about them. Now, I wasn't trying to pull a fast one out. Like, I mean, we share things, whatever. It's all good. And I take one of my paper reads, I think it was Verizon or FanDuel, and I place it over the box of cards because Hoff walked in.
Oh, like hiding it a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Honestly, I'm not lying. I was trying to steal them. So I'm telling you, I'm coming correct
really?
On this. So no. So this goon walks in. So I put the piece of paper over the cards, and Hoff goes, "Oh, wow, these cards look amazing." And I'm trying to change the topic. I'm like, "So, Sal, what do you think about it?" Like, I'm shifting gears from the baseball cards to something that, and you kept saying it, Hoff. And then, now this is bad. Then you leave the studio first, I think, to get water and stuff that I stuck him in my bag. But, now, this is where, this is where honest BT shows up.
Yes.
At the end of the day, he is a forthright human.
Yes.
I keep my bag in my office at home, obviously. I do some work when I get back. And they were in my bag. And when I went to put in a bottle of water there this morning, I'm like, do I leave them on my desk and give them to my son? Or do I take them back into work and do the right thing?
There you go. And they're back at work. All right.
But I was conflicted. Here they are. That's the long answer. There you go, buddy. I got it. You happy?
No, I'm glad I'm asked that. Now, I don't care. You're like, I'll take them for cold. If we weren't going to use them on the show, then whatever. You know. But Hoff's like, where are those cards? You know, you got
again, he's asking this guy. Blowing the cover. Well, what do you think? You're getting any?
No, you didn't tell. No, we were supposed to do it on air.
Oh,
I'm like, we could do it Friday on the show. We could do it all these different places. I'm like, this is great.
How about this? We do on Thursday, we do a pack on the air, and then you guys figure out how you want to take him to your kids at all.
I'll split them. No, listen.
I don't care.
Aunt's birthday's coming up. Aunt's a baseball fan, JD. Well, are there four in here?
I think there's like six packs. I don't know.
It's just a nice, it's a nice box.
I want to just open them.
Yeah,
but if I open them, I can't wrap them as a gift.
No, just give individual packs. Put a couple of packs in the stocking.
That's true.
Oh, that is funny.
That's
good job.
That is the truest thing that happened.
All right, BT and Sal, the Fan will come back, reset you with the crowd topic of the day. On the other side, we'll continue with your calls as well. 888-808-1019. Soto.
If you need to vent, dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, BT, here we go. A little 3RQ for you on this Wednesday, as we always do at 11:40. First one. If the only seat that was available on a train was next to a guy who was drinking with his bike blocking that seat, would you ask him to move it?
I would imagine I would. Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so.
So this happened to me last night on the PATH train at, say, 12 a.m. Now, I don't sit myself. I stand up on the pavement. So check this story out.
Okay.
It's a crowded train somewhat. I'm with my friend at SNY, Michelle Margot, who is pregnant. So congratulations. She announced that.
Wow. Congratulations.
So now,
that's awesome.
Like, and it's late night.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a train.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant. People should get up so she could sit down.
No doubt. Does she look pregnant yet? Like, would they know?
Yeah, you could see.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, she's hiding it. She's been hiding it, but she announced it on Instagram, whatever. So I think it's okay to say. And yeah,
you see a little baby.
100%.
Bump.
You can see it.
Okay.
So we're on there, and I'm like, all right, because it's crowded. People are trying to get on. The train was late. And I'm like, I'll get somebody up. Don't worry about it. She was panicking a little bit. Like, you need to find a seat. And there's a seat that is open, but a guy is sitting there pounding a beer.
Okay.
And his bike is blocking the open seat.
The open seat.
So I ask her first, would you be okay with sitting there? Because, like, if it were me, I'd probably be like, I'll ask somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an open seat. So she said, yeah. So then I go to him, hey, move this bike.
Is that,
I was like, do you mind? I actually said it nicely. Can you? But it also is disrespectful when, like, what are we doing here? Move the damn bike. Like, you shouldn't be doing it, period. Get the bike out of the way. I don't care if it's on the train.
Yeah.
But what do you think this is? This isn't your train.
Uh-huh.
It's an empty seat. If I want to sit there and I'm not pregnant, I'm going to sit there. Move the bike. Mm. Now, again, if I needed the seat, I would have done it. But for her, I definitely needed it. And he looked at me. So I said, hey, do you mind moving the bike so we could get to that seat? You know, the one that's right next to you that's unoccupied that we want to sit in there? He goes, yeah, 1 minute. Just give me a minute.
Mm.
Give me a minute.
Interesting start to the exchange.
Now I'm like, all right, something about to pop off here. I ain't having that. Now, luckily, people that were next to this guy immediately got up. They were
Did you tell him she's pregnant?
No, I don't think he needed to know that.
No,
but
no,
I'm
just curious.
Not,
I just wanted to say.
I did not say that.
I got you.
I'm not one of those like, oh, she's pregnant, move out of the way.
No, no,
I think
I
you asked
no,
first.
No, I meant nicely. Like, hey, excuse me, sir.
No.
Do you mind just maybe moving your bike? My friend here is pregnant. She's getting a little tired. She wants to get off her feet.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know if you used that as a smoother entry.
I did not.
Okay.
I don't know if it needed to be said.
Well, maybe not. It doesn't need to be said.
Either way, I don't think he was having it.
Really?
But luckily, the people next to us or whatever, her, like, oh, don't worry, guys. It's like, it's only one stop. She got to go. They're like, no, don't even worry about it. But the point is, so she ended up sitting down, sure, but the guy stood his ground.
He wound up, he never moved?
Never moved.
Wow. Young guy, old guy?
No, older guy.
Like, how old? 50s,
yeah,
60s,
70s? 50s, probably 50s.
All right.
Not old enough to where it's like, I'm not going to ask a guy who can't stand up.
Well, that's true. That's
no,
true.
No, it was a guy who can clearly ride his bike all over the place. Like,
did he look disheveled? Did he look trustworthy? Not that you can really tell these days.
Say,
but I mean, did you feel like you had a possible confrontation coming?
I would say angry would be the word I would use.
It sounds like he's admitting anything
and
but happiness.
To a point where she was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, just to kind of just.
Yeah. But now I start getting like, because I'm right or wrong. Forget about her for a second. Now it's principle.
That's right.
Like if somebody wants to sit in that open seat. Get your ass off.
I don't blame you.
Move your bike. You don't have to move the bike.
I don't blame you. Dude, I've got such a mess, just as a quick aside, I've got such a massive problem with that. Like, I'll never forget this. I was 3 years old, and I was young, but I remember this to the day. We're at Kings Plaza in Brooklyn. My mom and my sister were shopping. I think me and my dad, well, I really wasn't watching football much at 3, and I was probably getting ready to turn 4, so I was like 3 and a half, whatever. And we go to pick them up after a day shopping at the mall. You know, I'm all hopped up on candy, whatever.
Yeah,
Lord
right,
knows
right,
what
right,
I was
right,
eating.
Right.
And we're in the elevator from the parking bank to go to meet them, maybe at Nathan's or something, and go look at the dogs at the kennel place. Like, yeah,
right,
like
right,
a
right.
family day, right?
Yeah.
And I run out of the elevator. And my dad grabs my hair, which was really curly and long at that point.
Right.
I'll never forget. He didn't really mean to grab my hair, but he meant to grab my shirt, and he missed. And he looked at me. He goes, "Women and children first." And I never forgot that.
Right.
And so to this day,
left
my son, who's 9, I, you know, I don't have to remind him anymore. But hey, when he was 3, 4, go open the door for mommy and your sister.
Right.
And that translates to getting your ass up.
Right.
If somebody wants to sit,
right.
If it's a female.
That's the thing, bro. Like, I get it. Life is beating us down. I understand it. I understand it's not pleasant being on the train and riding the bike or whatever. But come on. You
see,
I'm
with you, dude.
Woman, get up.
Nothing else needs to
just,
be said.
Just move. You don't even have to get it. Just move the bike. Anyway.
That sounds like
that
a complete
was one
tool.
Yeah, dude.
It's
angered me. And now I'm starting to get the blood boiling. And I'm like, you know, who knows what could happen here? Luckily, the people weren't. Anyway.
Sal getting more angry at that than he was the A's game.
Right, exactly. No, that was the main course, and I washed it down with that dessert with this guy who wouldn't move his damn bike. All right, well, positive note here.
Yes.
Favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
Ooh, it's a good one. Man. All right, I used to love, it was like an ensemble. It was like Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. That was great. I love the Legion of... The Legion of Doom, where you had all the superheroes. Remember the Hall of Justice, the superheroes. Obviously the basic ones, but even like Green Lantern and Aquaman were back on that one. And I really liked the Smurfs for like a year or two.
Me too.
I really did.
I mean, that was a mainstay for
those
a while.
Were a couple.
I remember He-Man.
Woody Woodpecker. I was a big fan of Woody was good.
So Saturday morning is different. Like for me, He-Man, I remember watching when I got home from school.
That was more of a weekday thing. Right. You're absolutely right.
Saturday morning, like I remember. Smurfs, definitely.
I love the Smurfs. Like
Gummy Bears, you remember?
No,
that?
I didn't get into Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
You never heard this one?
I devour Gummy
Great
Bears.
Song.
I don't think I've ever heard of that
and
cartoon.
And now the Gummies, I know. Oh, Muppet Babies, I used to
that
love.
That was good, Muppet Babies.
Oh,
I like more the
one?
Muppet, the Muppet actual,
right.
Like Jim Henson's on.
I'm trying to think.
The actual weeknight show, but yeah.
Right, Thundercats might have been an evening one, too. There's another one on Saturday morning that I remember. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Do you remember this one?
I was too old for that.
You have that song, Hoff? The Super Mario Brothers Super Show?
Yo, it's the Mario Brothers. And Plumbing's the game.
Yeah.
You know who played Mario?
Who?
Captain Lou Albano.
No way.
Yes.
Did he have the rubber bands?
Look it up.
Did he have the rubber bands?
I think so.
Yo,
I believe
Captain
so.
Lou.
Captain Lou Albano.
Wow.
I'm wearing a Voltron shirt today, so that's why Hoff brought it up before when we talk about some of the cartoons. But man, Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh.
Remember waking up early for those? It was the best.
And I'll tell you, one of the big differences, unlike now, and you've seen this with Joey, you'll see this when your daughter starts playing soccer and doing some other things, like, back then, like, all right, you might have a Saturday game, but it's across the street. It's at the park.
Right.
You're not driving on the Garden State Parkway or wherever down, you know,
136
miles to get there for 9 o'clock first pitch, which means, yeah, it's total. So you can enjoy the cartoons is my point.
Are they still a thing, Saturday morning cartoons?
Not for my kids, they're not. No.
But, like, because now you just watch stuff streaming anyway, so you basically watch whatever you want on your time.
Sal, I don't think that they are. You know what they do have? They do have a, it's like a modernized version of This Week in Baseball. What's the young woman's name? She's really good. She's a host. Great. I guess she was a great softball player. And they have like all sorts of clinics and they have some cartoon stuff. Hop, maybe you've seen Aunt
Is it Mendoza? Jessica Mendoza?
No, not Jessica Mendoza. No, I know her from here. Not her. They definitely have a lot of kids content. I don't think it's like cartoon. No, I think those days are over.
You have a favorite cartoon, Hoff, or a Saturday morning cartoon, I should say?
I probably was a big X-Men fan. Like, that was my jam back in the day.
Remember, do either of you remember Hogan's Rock and Wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah. That was very good.
Man, and if you go back, because I had, like, years ago, I went back and just watched some of them.
Yeah.
God, they're awful. As an adult, like.
Oh, God. Most things are pretty bad as an adult. Like, things we used to find humor. And I used to love Fat Albert as well.
Oh, Fat Albert was great. That was an after-school one, I think, too.
What is this theme? It was before school.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League.
Here we go.
Assemble the world's four greatest heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman.
Oh.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Little Batman.
Yeah, I love that.
Batman.
There we go, Batman.
Green Lantern.
Hook him up.
There was Saturday morning, and then there was the after school one. So a lot of, like Inspector Gadget, I feel like, was after school.
That was after school. And that was like on
Fat Albert was definitely after school.
I used to watch Fat Albert before school. I used to wake up. I used to watch The Great Space Coaster. I was an early riser even then. I'd get up at like 5 o'clock. I'd put the TV on when I got a TV in my own room. And Fat Albert.
Okay. Yeah. Last one here.
Okay,
that was a fun trip down memory lane. Last one. What happened to the cards that Michael Rubin brought in yesterday?
It is a random question, but.
What happened to them? Hoff, did you see them? Didn't you get.
He brought them in, and then that's the last I saw of them.
I don't know.
We didn't open them on the air.
Did you take them?
We didn't open them on the air, did
anybody
we?
Take them?
I was looking for them. I thought we would. Thursday.
You want me to come correct? You want me to honestly tell you? And Hoff, I was so pissed at you. Yeah, I didn't say anything, right?
Pissed at me?
No, well, I'm going to tell you why, right? So Ruben gives it to us, and I'll tell you where they are in a minute, right? Yes, I have them. So Ruben gives them to us, and I'm like, maybe to my son. Sure. But, you know, I'm thinking me. So I thought that you forgot about them. Now, I wasn't trying to pull a fast one at all. Like, I mean, we share things, whatever. It's all good. And I take one of my paper reads, you know, I think it was Verizon or FanDuel, and I place it over the box of cards because Hoff walked in.
Oh, like hiding it a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Honestly, I'm not lying. I was trying to steal them. So I'm telling you, I'm coming correct on this. So So this goon walks in. So I put the piece of paper over the cards, and Hoff goes, oh, wow, these cards look amazing. And I'm trying to change the topic. I'm like, so Sal, what do you think about? Like, I'm shifting gears from the baseball cards to something that, and you kept saying it, Hoff. And then, now this is bad. Then you leave the studio first, I think, to get water or something. I stuck him in my bag. but, now, this is where, this is where honest BT shows up.
Yes.
At the end of the day, he's a forthright human.
Yes.
I keep my bag. In my office at home, obviously. I do some work when I get back. And they were in my bag. And when I went to put in a bottle of water there this morning, I'm like, do I leave them on my desk and give them to my son? Or do I take them back into work and do the right thing?
There you go. And they're back at work. All right.
But I was conflicted. Here they are. That's the long answer. There you go, buddy. I got it.
You happy? No, I'm glad I'm asked that. Now, I don't care. Like, I can take them for cold. If we weren't going to use them on the show, then whatever. You know. But Hoff's like, where are those cards?
Again, he's asking this guy. Blowing the cover. What do you think? You're getting any?
No, you didn't tell. No, we were supposed to do it on air.
Oh,
we could do it Friday on the show. We could do it all these different places. I'm like, this is great. You didn't tell me you wanted to take them.
How about this? We do on Thursday, we do a pack on the air. And then you guys figure out how you want to take him to your kids at all.
I'll split them. No, listen.
I don't care.
Aunt's birthday's coming up. Aunt's a baseball fan, JD. Well, are there four in here?
I think there's like six packs. I don't know.
It's a nice phone. Whatever. It's a nice box.
I want to just open them. Yeah. But if I open them, I can't wrap them as a gift.
No, just give individual packs. Put a couple of packs
That's
in
true.
The stocking.
That's true.
Oh, that is funny.
That's
good job.
That is the truest thing that happened.
All right, BT and Sal, the Fan will come back. Reset you with the crowd topic of the day. On the other side, we'll continue with your calls as well. 888-808-1019. Soto.